Once upon a time, a great and kind king lived in a huge castle on a hill. The sun always shone on this gleaming white castle, and inside the castle was only love and joy and peace. The great king's servants loved their master. They served him cheerfully. Each morning they would line up and announce with deep pleasure, "Reporting for duty, O king." But outside the castle and down the hill was a different scene. Rebellion, death, and the stench of human sinfulness. There was no peace on earth, no goodwill among men. Rather, stabbings, abuse, robberies, and terrorism. Addictions, abortions, abductions, blasphemies, and bombs. The strong king could have taken them all out with a word, but he hadn't. Instead, he had sent rain and sunshine. Food and clothing, spouses and children, victories and vacations. Wave after endless wave of blessing, and still they raged on in pride and lust and violence. The more the king gave them, the less content they seemed to be. They hated the king. They wanted to be free from his restricting laws. So he warned them to change. He even sent many of his choice servants to them. And rarely did anyone listen. These humble servants were beaten, mocked, and imprisoned, some even killed. At last, the king would do the unimaginable. He would send his own son, his equal in power, goodness, and kingdom authority. He would send his own son into enemy territory with a message of good news to these rebels. How would such a stunning show of mercy be announced? How would the greatest story ever told begin? Oddly enough, it begins with an old priest. An old priest who had been waiting for the Savior a long time. An old priest whose faith had perhaps become a bit weak. The story of Christmas begins with him on an ordinary day in Jerusalem. I want to tell his story in the first person. I've called it Through the Eyes of an Old Man. Not the eyes of this old man, someone much older than I am. Through the Eyes of an Old Man. Shalom, that's Hebrew for peace to you. My name is Zacharias. My name means God remembers. For as long as I can remember, I've known about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who created the world and redeemed Israel out of Egypt. The God who gave us the covenants and who sent us His prophets. I was raised in a godly home. I was taught right from wrong, the Ten Commandments. I knew the stories of Israel's failures through all the years and their hope. The hope of the remnant for a coming Redeemer for the nation. I considered myself and believed that I was part of God's covenant to Abraham. I was of the priestly line of Abijah, and I entered the priesthood as a young man. I later met and married a young woman named Elizabeth, a daughter of Aaron herself, Aaron, the first priest of Israel. We lived according to God's law, and we longed for the Messiah to come. Elizabeth has been by my side all my life. She's with me, been devoted to God the best we know how to be. And now we are seriously old. Advanced in years, stricken with age. And we've had this one painful, silent issue that would just not go away. In the weak moments of our life, we really questioned God's love for us at times. We even wondered, you know, did we have some unconfessed sin in our life? Elizabeth was barren. This is a stigma of shame, an emblem of embarrassment in our world. In our strong moments, in our faithful moments, we knew this was providence with a purpose. We just didn't have a clue what the purpose was. The prayers of Hannah had nothing on my Elizabeth. But finally, her hope for a child gave way to reality. Time had passed her by. In fact, it's been a long time since I've prayed for a child myself. In those days, every godly young Jewish woman upon her marriage hoped to be the mother of the Messiah. Can you imagine? We knew He was coming. Yahweh had promised. And ready or not, Believing or not, he was coming. It had been 400 years since the last true prophet in our land, Malachi. Here were some of his last words. "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children." God would send a prophet before Messiah to properly announce our coming King and Deliverer. So I carried on in serving God. Everyone said about me, "Zacharias, he's such a dutiful man. He does his duty." That's me, Zacharias. I'm in one of 24 divisions of priests. We serve on a rotation system in the temple, 1 week at a time, 2 times a year, plus 3 major feasts. And then we'd go back home throughout the land of Israel and we'd teach God's law and God's word to the people. That was our calling. And I've been doing this a long time. And let me tell you a little secret. There is a great amount of routine in being a priest. Duty sometimes borders on monotony. In fact, you have to be very diligent to keep your heart right. You need to remember that there is this altar of incense in the holy place in the temple. The altar stood in the center, in front of the veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. God commanded Aaron, our first high priest, to offer up incense on this very altar every day to represent the prayers of God's people drifting up, as it were, to God like a fragrant aroma. Any priest could offer this incense at the daily sacrifice. But here was the catch. There were so many of us that you only got to do this one time in your lifetime as a priest. We cast lots to decide, sort of like drawing straws or rolling dice. And my number had never been called. Like Elizabeth's barrenness, I had my own lifetime disappointment. Then it happened. My routine was shattered. The monotony was over. I knew it wasn't random because Solomon had told us in the book of Proverbs, "The lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord." My brothers were so excited for me. My heart was racing. And so I go in to offer the incense into the holy place. And while I go in to do this, the large congregation of worshipers are outside and they're praying. I was simply not prepared for what would happen next. In an instant, a shining one, an angel of the Lord, is standing right there to the right of the altar. And it was like he had come from behind the veil itself. And I saw him and it just took my breath away. I wish I could tell you that I stayed calm and collected. I would be lying. It scared me bad. I understand that this is fairly common. This heavenly being was awesome. Awesome. Have you ever been gripped with fear that just takes over your mind and your body? Whatever it was, it doesn't compare to this, let me assure you. I must have looked pale. I know I was shaking. The first thing he says to me is, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias." And I'm thinking, that's easy for him to say. Then this angelic announcement came at a mind-numbing speed, and he was so matter-of-fact about it. "God has heard your prayer." I'm thinking, but which prayer? I mean, even before he appeared, I was praying for the only thing I would be praying for in this time of my life, in this place of my life. I'm praying for God to come in the form of the Messiah. I'm praying that he would shine upon his people and set us free. And now this shining one shows up and says, "God has answered your prayer." But wait, there's been this other prayer my whole adult life. I've been praying for a son. Surely not. He goes on and he says, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." And I'm, whoa, slow down. My head was spinning. He was telling me what to name him. He knows my name. He knows my wife's name. He names our unborn son for us. I need to sit down. Problem is, there's no seats in the temple. I'm thinking, think, Zechariah. John, Yon. That means the name of God, Yah, plus to show favor, to be gracious. What the angel said next contrasted with my fear. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. This was a godly parent's dream come true. For his mother, the next best thing to giving the birth to the Messiah would be to give birth to the forerunner, to the prophet who would come in the power of Elijah. My son will be great in the sight of the Lord. My son will be chosen for a special task. He will never be controlled by wine or liquor. Instead, he will be controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit while in the womb. And God will use my son to turn my brethren back to the Lord. Let me tell you, that's long overdue. I've seen how some of them live. He will turn the heart of fathers toward their children. He'll turn the disobedient toward an attitude of the righteous. And then he says this, my son, my boy would come before the king himself to announce his arrival on the scene and to prepare a people for him. This was, in fact, the biggest moment of my long priesthood. This was the greatest news of my entire life. This was a stunning promise of a great act in redemptive history that would include me and my wife. It was my moment to shine. If only I'd believed it. I faltered. I stumbled. I looked down at my wrinkled, trembling old hands. I thought of my Elizabeth at home and the reality that her time had come and gone years ago. Bear a child can't be done. Can you believe it? A priest, and I forgot about the Red Sea crossing. Manna from heaven, water from a rock, a talking donkey. A woman named Sarah giving birth at the age of 90 to a father who was 100. I forgot all the stories I've taught hundreds of times myself. My inside voice was saying to the angel, with all due respect, shining one, we're as old as dirt. My outside voice said, how can I know for sure? I didn't just ask, how would God do it? That's a different question. I questioned the truth of the promise, and I questioned the integrity of the messenger. And I struck a nerve with the shining one. His gracious and calming tone changed to a scolding tone. It got really loud. If angels can get mad, this one was getting close. I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. Gabriel? Gabriel? I wish he had told me sooner. This is not just any angel. This is an archangel. This is the angel that gave Daniel his prophecies concerning Messiah. I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. It's as if the angel was saying, Zacharias, you should be overcome with joy. Look at yourself. You're a priest. Look at where you're standing. You're in the temple. Why are you so surprised? You of all people should have believed me, and your discipline is that these foolish words of unbelief will be the last words you'll speak until this promise comes about. And then he was gone in a flash. It was amazing, really. This was going to happen whether I believed it or not. Now I had this constant reminder of my momentary lapse. It was a comforting reminder, too. God could have taken my life. God is holy. God is righteous. I was just mere feet from the Shekinah presence of God. And he was dealing with me firmly yet with mercy. So I went and talked for a while. Back outside, everyone was getting antsy. It was taking way too long to offer the incense offering. I came out alive to their great relief. I made motions to show the crowd that I had seen a visitor. And I looked so stunned. I looked so shattered. And since I couldn't talk, they believed me. They believed me. That was a rebuke in itself. They believed a tired old man, and I wouldn't believe the ageless, glorious Archangel Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. All I knew is I needed to get home and fast. I could not wait to tell Elizabeth, right Elizabeth, with this news. I wondered how she would respond. I hoped that she would respond better than I had. But my week of service was not up yet, and this would prove to be the longest week of my life. I finished out my shift. I prayed a lot. I kept to myself. I went home with the news. Elizabeth became pregnant. She stayed in the house for 5 months until it was indisputable, till no one could say she was crazy and had lost her mind. And then she showed herself to some of her friends and her family, and she proclaimed with soul-bursting joy, "God has taken away my disgrace among men." And she spoke more than she knew. You know, when God's favor comes, disgrace is banished. We come from a small, close-knit community. We share everything. And sometimes people can go a little too far with that, as Elizabeth found out 4 months later. I was so proud of her when she delivered that child. I was even prouder of God. Promise made, promise kept. Joy filled the air. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the joy in our little village? Joy over Elizabeth's great deliverance from the shadow of childlessness. But it was more than that. So much more. There was messianic joy filling the air. 8 days later, it was time for us to circumcise our little spirit-filled prophet. We discovered how mighty a set of lungs he did have on him. All of our extended family were gathered for the big day, and they decided that they would name our child for us. Bless their hearts. All they could come up with was the name Zacharias. Natural, expected, dead wrong. Elizabeth pipes up, "No! He shall be called John." Now, this was against all custom. Naming had been the man's job since Adam. Elizabeth is stepping out of line here a little bit. And so everyone just kind of blew it off. And they reminded her that there's no one in your family by that name. And so they made signs for me as to what I wanted to name him. You know, from the day I couldn't speak, people acted like I couldn't hear as well. I just gave up trying to convince them otherwise. Pass the tablet and the pen, and I write down, "His name is John." And all of the air left the room. Now, everyone was speechless except me. I had made a promise to God that when I get my voice back, I would no longer use it to doubt God, but to praise God. And so I did. "Praise God," I shouted. "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul," I shouted. The surprise of all the friends and family that were gathered quickly turned to fear. The news went everywhere in Judea. Old Zacharias and Elizabeth then had themselves a baby boy in their old age. Nothing like this had ever happened in Israel, except for Sarah and Abraham. And so obviously, with messianic anticipation filling the air, people were asking, "What will this child be? God is with this child, no doubt. What will he turn out to be?" The joy and the anticipation was palatable. And people were beginning to think, could we be the very generation? What will this child turn out to be? The old priest became a prophet for a day. God the Holy Spirit took control of Zacharias' mouth, and this was the answer that he gave them. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called the Son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will go on before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's pray. Oh, Father, with great joy we say thank you. Thank you that you have visited us and accomplished redemption for your people. Thank you that the sunrise from on high has come, and that He has shone upon people like us who sat in darkness and who sat in the shadow of death. Thank you that He has come to set us free, to deliver us from the hand of all of our enemies, that we might serve you in holiness and righteousness all our days. Thank you that He has come to change our lives. Thank you that He has come to break the power of sin in our lives. Thank you that He has come to guide our feet into the way of peace and peace everlasting. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.